Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The maritime transportation industry is a vital industry, contributing more than $1 billion a year to the national economy. It is also an industry that has evolved in a highly sophisticated global intermodal transportation network. Thousands of vessels ply the world's vast ocean highways and America's waterways, carrying huge quantities of consumer goods and other cargo. What are the key challenges facing the maritime transportation system in the 21st century? How is the Maritime Administration working to enhance the competitiveness of U.S. transportation providers and manufacturers? And what is the U.S. Maritime Administration doing to modernize its business processes and use resources more efficiently? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, David Matsuda, Administrator of the Maritime Administration within the U.S. Department of Transportation. Welcome, David. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you could provide us with an overview of the history and evolution of the Maritime Administration. When was it created and what's its mission today?
Well, this is an agency that dates back a very long time, back to the mid-1930s. In fact, Joseph P. Kennedy was one of the very first maritime administrators. So I am honored to hold a role that he once did. I can tell you that it has evolved over the years. The agency at one point split into two. One of them is the Federal Maritime Commission, which is the independent board, and us, the Maritime Administration. Maritime Administration used to be in the Department of Commerce, and in the early 1980s was transferred over to the Department of Transportation, where we've been ever since.
Operationally, how is your agency organized? What's the size of its budget and number of employees? And more particularly, how does it interact with the other modes within the Department of Transportation?
Well, that's a very good question, because since the Coast Guard left and became part of the Department of Homeland Security, the Maritime Administration is really the primary maritime agency now in the department. And unlike many of our agency partners, we don't regulate. We're more of a promotional agency. Okay. So while the department's chief mission is safety, we do maintain a strong promotional advocacy role for the maritime industry. We've got about 830 employees, a budget of about $300 to $400 million of appropriated funds. But frankly, we do a lot of services for other federal agencies and manage about $1 billion total.
And geographically, how are you organized geographically?
We've got a headquarters office here at the Department of Transportation headquarters, about 250 employees. The Merchant Marine Academy, which we oversee, about 250 employees up there in Kings Point, New York, out on Long Island. And the remainder of the field offices are spread throughout the continental U.S.
So with a rich history and an important mission, I'd like to know a little bit more about what you do as the administrator. Could you tell us a little bit more about your specific responsibilities and duties? And how are your efforts supporting the overall mission of the Department of Transportation?
Absolutely. Well, as administrator, the buck stops with me. And I'm responsible for the functioning of the agency, the overall operation. And as the chief advisor to the Secretary of Transportation on maritime issues and activities, I take that role very seriously. As I mentioned earlier, we have a unique role in that we're primarily an advocacy or promotional agency. So we don't do, you know, the type of safety regulation and oversight that the other agencies do in the department. But I know the Department of Transportation has a strong initiative and is one of their strategic goals to promote the economic competitiveness of the United States. And that is something that is our primary role as well when we deal with the United States maritime industry. We want to promote it. We want to promote jobs, U.S. businesses, economic opportunities for both workers and businesses in this key industry.
Well, excellent. Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the three top challenges you face in that position, and how are you addressing these challenges?
Well, probably the top challenge has been trying to deal with the, we'll say, the demons of the past for this agency and refocusing on the challenges of the future, the things we really need to be looking at. I'll say that one of the first things I dealt with when I first came to the agency was an ongoing and contentious lawsuit with a local community in the San Francisco Bay Area. Local regulators out there, a number of environmental groups, had sued and blocked the agency from carrying out its ship disposal program because of concern about the way the ships were maintained. We spent a lot of time and effort settling the lawsuit, and it's been a very successful settlement. We've been able to move forward with the program. We have recycled about 25 ships out of the facility. These were old, some World War II era vessels that we needed to move out, help clean up the bay environment, and help create jobs and put people to work in the U.S. Recycling industry as well. But that was probably one of the chief challenges. The other one that we've dealt with is the United States Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point. And when we came on board, we had to face a number of congressional investigation findings that the operations of the school were not lawful, that there had been a number of violations of the Anti-Deficiency Act, which I think most federal employees kind of hear and may shudder when they hear that, because it is one of the, you know, crimes, I guess, of the federal budget world. But we have taken a very strong and intense effort to make sure that the financial control and internal controls are in place to be able to give Congress and others the credibility and confidence that we can handle funds appropriately. And in fact, the school so badly needs them. So it really was a top priority. And again, fixing some of these problems of the past has allowed us to really focus on challenges going forward.
What about your career path? Could you tell our listeners a little about yourself and how you got to where you are now?
Absolutely. I came to Washington shortly after law school from the West Coast in San Diego. And I gave up the sunny environs to learn a little bit more about how Washington works. And I haven't looked back. I started as a staff lawyer in a small agency called the Federal Railroad Administration. And I've long enjoyed working in the transportation field and industry. So this was a great opportunity. After a number of years, I had the opportunity to do a detail with the United States Senate on one of the transportation committees. This was the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. Again, a wonderful experience. I really enjoyed working in the Congress and ended up staying another 6 years after that working for a senator from New Jersey, Senator Frank Lautenberg. And I handled transportation issues, or advised him on transportation issues. And I think many might recognize that he is someone who has been very involved in transportation for a very long time. So it gave me a great exposure to the many different types of industries and issues, and just really kept me interested. And it really opened up a lot more opportunities and things for me to learn and grow. And when the President Obama was elected, I had the opportunity to join his administration. And again, I have been honored to serve, and I continue to enjoy it and to learn and grow. And just thankful for the people that are on my team and that I work with every day, not just the ones, the other political appointees, but certainly all of the career staff who I've long known are some of the best in the business.
So can I ask a question regarding your team, and how do you lead them? What are some of the characteristics you have that kind of mark or define an effective leader?
Well, when you talk about an internal team, I think the key is to make sure that you have folks that are that you have confidence and trust in, and then you can empower them to take on responsibilities, to exercise discretion and judgment. And I think that's the key. That's how I endeavor to run our organization. As far as the Senior leadership goes to career staff within the agency. These are professionals. They're managers. They don't need, you know, micromanagement. What they do need is direction. And we try to provide that as best we can. I know that, you know, I'm often looking at opportunities where I'll say that career staff haven't always enjoyed the type of attention from the political leadership as they have in this administration. So I know that many times I've seen the appreciation for the time and attention spent on the various issues that they're working on.
What are the challenges facing the maritime transportation system in the 21st century? We will ask David Matsuda, administrator of the U.S. Maritime Administration, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.